Good evening. Thank you for joining us for another Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for joining us as we take another dive into the Word. Amen. Having a great week. Week is going great. We can't complain. All glory to God. Are there any praise reports? We like to hear those praise reports so we can praise God about your victories. Are there any praise reports anyone wants to talk about? Hey man, I hear you. Sounds great. We know God is moving and working in everybody's lives. So we'll just move forward and we'll pray in and get started with the message. Amen. It'll be me and Sister Carter today.
Amen.
All righty. You want to kick this off, Sister Carter? I pray us in. You want to kick it off?
You pray then, I'll kick it off.
Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your hope, and your mercy. We ask forgiveness and repent of our sins, Father, as we come before you. We thank you, Father, for showing us how to use this message in our everyday lives. And we thank you for burying the seed of this message into the soil of our hearts, that you water it, O God, and that it may grow fruit for the kingdom. Father, show us how to be fishers of men to help cover up with multitudes of sins and bring others unto you, Father. We thank you and we praise you for your love, your grace, your hope, and your mercy, for leading us, guiding us, blessing us, and directing us in your way, your will, and your righteousness. Father, we thank you and we praise you and pray these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that awesome prayer. We just know that it covered all of us and that we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together and study the Word of God as men and women of God. Tonight, I want to talk about what is your perspective? How do you see things? Because our perspective is very important. How we perceive things, how we think about it, how we feel about it is all determines our walk in this life. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The mind is that important word right there, the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so let's talk about how do we see ourselves in this world? How do we see others, or even how do we perceive the circumstances of this life? Well, I'm gonna tell you, most of the time, people perceive this world as negative. Everything is negative coming out of their mouth. I can't, they don't, we won't. All the horrible things is negativity to the max. Most people perceive this world as negative and they speak it. And so we have to look at this and think about, is this what we are accepting for our lives as believers? Are we going to go through life saying, it is what it is? Everybody always says that, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. We can't change anything. Are we going to accept defeat? Are we going to accept every excuse or negative circumstance that the world dishes out? Or do we just roll over and accept it as truth or fact? Whatever the world says about us, I guess that's what it is. Nothing's gonna change, so I'm gonna accept it. Or are we gonna speak word curses on ourselves saying, I'll never be anything, I'll never be this, I'll never do that, or things will never change. Or you can even substitute the word, she'll never change, or he'll never change. Or I'm just not. So you can fill in the blank wherever you want to. But are we going to perceive life like that? The way we see ourselves in the world is important. Because the way we go through life is the way that we're going to act within it as well. And what we accept into our heart and what we accept into our mind. Remember, beginning it says that we need to transform our mind. We got to renew it because, of course, the world does have all these negative things coming at us. Because, look, this world is run by who? Satan. Satan is the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. So he put all these systems into effect that are, of course, are going to be negative and work against us. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept it. That doesn't mean that that's what is for us because he's not our creator. He's not the one who made us. He's the enemy. So, of course, if you have an enemy working against you, he's going to try to do whatever he can to deter you, to derail you, to throw you off your game. He's going to do whatever it takes. But we have the ability to either accept it or not accept it. So we have to renew our mind so that we can reshape our belief system. See, a lot of times these things come to us as children. Just think about some of the things you heard from your parents when you were little. Hopefully, it's not those ugly things that some people say to their kids, but they hear them anyway. So these negative thoughts that come to kids early, like you're never going to be anything in life, or you're just not, we keep those things in our minds. Even as adults, we'll go back because it's in a tape, and that tape keeps on twirling and twirling and twirling. Even if you're 50, 60 years old, you'll still go back. Oh, I remember what my parents said about me when I was little. They said, I'm never going to be anything. Oh, look at me now. Okay. So we have to remember that we got to renew our mind. We don't have to believe everything that is said. It's up to us to change it because we have to shape our lives. We shape our lives by what we believe. But what we believe is what God says about us, not what the world says about us. So if you look at Proverbs 21:7, if you want to turn there very briefly, it says, Proverbs 21:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think those things about yourself, then of course that's what you're going to be. If you think that you're going to be a horrible child, if you think that you're never going to have anything in life, if you think these and your belief system catches hold of that and says, that's what you are, that's what you're going to be, then you will. Proverbs 18, verse 21, and this is a New King, this is a New King James Version, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words, not somebody else's words, by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you'll be condemned. So acquitted means that you'll be released, set free. And condemned means that you're going to be judged and you'll be caught up. This passage emphasizes that spoken words reflect the heart, and we're subject to divine judgment. So, if death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you know this, why are you speaking death over your life? You have to speak what God's word says because you are shaping the word, just like God spoke the world into existence. You speak yours through his word. So you're either going to speak death into your life, not death physical, but death to your prosperity, death to relationships, death to jobs or finances, whatever it is. And then, or you're going to eat the fruit of it. I am prosperous. God has prospered me. He provides for me. You speak the words that he has given you about us. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, 2. And let me go back to that for just a second because it also said that you have to give an account for every empty word, every word that you speak. God's going to hold you accountable for. There's even the little bitty things that you don't think, you know, is important. He's going to pick up everything, and you are accountable for that. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So even if we're going through all these tests and trials and difficult areas of our life, we don't focus on those things. We have to keep our eyes off of that and keep our eyes on God. And I know that's hard because a lot of times our flesh is screaming out, you know, sometimes you're going through physical things and you're in pain and your body's just screaming and you're still trying to keep your faith. But we have to realize that even though through those tests, trials, and tribulations, God is still with us and he's going to carry us through all of this. So we can't look at what's going on. We have to walk by faith. I had recently had this rash or something come up. I don't know where it popped up from. All of a sudden, I'm itching and it's getting red and blah, blah, blah. And all these things are just, I'm like, where did this come from? So when I was praying about it, the Spirit said, don't look at it. Don't keep checking on it. Don't keep looking at it. Don't give it any power. Because every time I looked at it, I would go like, ooh, it's getting bigger. Or, ooh, it's getting, you know, worse. And so your mind is going to shape that. And that's what's going to happen. So he said, stop giving it power. Stop looking at it. So about a week, it started going away because I just didn't look at it anymore. And I kept praying and believing that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus and just didn't give it any power. So after that, it started going away. And so I went back to the story about where Moses' sister had God had given her leprosy. And so I'm going like, oh, cleanse me too. You know, cleanse me just like that. Don't give me this stuff. Just cleanse me. I'll cleanse me like you cleansed his sister. So I want all of this. I want my skin white as snow. Just clean it. So it went away. And even the little marks that, you know, sometimes are darker than the rest of your skin, those went away. So I have to just remember, you know, you can't focus on what the trial is that you're going through. What you focus is the end of that trial, which is victory. So we have to be sure that we keep our eyes on that. I'm going to try to speed up a little bit so Brother Carter can do his. Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you, every woman give you account. I think I read that. Okay, so we have to understand that we have a threefold nature, body, soul, and spirit. And that comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We have to understand that we have our citizenship in heaven. And that's Philippians 3:20. That God created us in his own image, not our image, not Satan's image. God created man in his own image, Genesis 1:27, and to also go back and renew your mind. So one thing we have to do about the way we perceive things, we got to stop conforming to the world. We got to stop trying to agree with what the world says. We don't change. We are not going to be changed by whatever the enemy says. We have to be transformed. So we take that transformation, and that is when we apply the word of God. That's that process that we got to go through, the renewing, the washing of the word. Think about a dirty dish. Every day you eat off that dish, it gets dirty. You got to put it in the sink, wash it over. Next day you eat off it again, it gets dirty, wash it. So we got to keep washing and washing and washing, renewing our mind. And then we have to understand the purpose that God had for us. He has a good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So it's easy to live in this world, but it's hard to live in this world as a Christian, as a believer, because you get persecuted and you care about what people think. Well, God said, don't care about what anybody thinks except him. And that's who your identity is. So when you start thinking about what you are going through and how you perceive this world, you got to perceive the world the way that Christ sees it, speaking the word of God, seeing what God created, seeing your purpose, how he intended you to be, and what he's destined to be. So you think about a painting, somebody created a painting, and the painter had an idea what the painting is, and he tells you what that idea is in the title. But then you look at it as a viewer and you see it, something is totally different. Oh, I don't see that in there. Well, regardless of what you see in there, that's what the painter intended. So we have to see God as our painter. This is what, how he intended us to be like him. So don't accept the worldly perspective. Accept the perspective of God and start looking through his eyes. That is the way that he sees us, and we need to see our life.
Amen, amen. Great verses. Excellent verses. Very, very, very important. So my verses corroborate with that. The first verse that I want to bring up, because sometimes in the world and how we see things, one big thing that matters a bunch to God, matters greatly to God, is how we see one another. And so if you turn to Ephesians 4 and 32 with me, I will give you that verse. That's Ephesians 4 and 32. Yeah, it's very important, you know, like you said, how we look at things while we're going through things. And sometimes we go through things with others. Sometimes we're going through things with ourselves. Sometimes we're dealing head on with a situation. And we're going to get into that tonight as well. But one of those things is how we deal with each other. Ephesians 4 and 32 tells us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Here comes the important part, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. How can you not forgive someone when Jesus forgave you? Even your biggest sin, that maybe a lot of people don't even know because God kept it hidden right there as far as the east is from the west, and he buried this. Jesus still loves you. Even when you do bad things, he is always there to help you. And we need to love and forgive others just as Jesus Christ did. One important reminder, when he said, who can cast the first stone? That's a great daily reminder. And who can say that they have not sinned? Who? Which one of us can put their hand up and say, hey, I have not sinned? I don't think there is anyone who can put their hand up in the air to say that. He told us in John 13 and 34 that a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Do you know how much each of us sin? A lot. Do you know how much Jesus loves us no matter what? No matter how big our sins are, he still forgives and loves us more than we can love anyone on this earth. And he has shown that. He loves us that much that he died for us on the cross, took pain for us. If you look up how much pain he took, they put a crown of rose thorns on his head. And we have all held a rose before with thorns on it and felt that prick. You reach your arm back as soon as you feel it, but this was mashed into his head. You have to understand this. They whipped him with a whip called a cat of nine tails. It had bones, bone pieces within the whip. It tear out your flesh when it whips across your skin. Tremendously horrible. But he took that pain for us so that we can have everlasting life. So who are we to stand there and say that we hate one another? But so as he loved us, we must love one another because God loves you no matter what. Now, that's in dealing with one another, because God looks at how we treat others and how we forgive others, which is very important in his kingdom, because we have asked him so much to forgive us and things that we have done. But then we haven't forgiven those who have trespassed against us, which is in the Lord's Prayer that he told us to quote daily or to model our prayers after. But also in dealing with those things that we deal with on a daily basis, sometimes they're difficult and hard, but he has given us his word to back us up when we go through these things. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Amen. That's 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. I'm going to show you how he is there for us even when you don't believe so. Because sometimes situations blind us in the fact of being able to see that God is there or that he is able. His word says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. You see, Paul famously struggled with his thorn in the flesh, as he called it, and he pleaded with God to take it away. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God doesn't remove the obstacle and the struggles that we face, but he gives us an opportunity to lean on his grace and his strength as we go through them. No matter how weak we may feel, we can use his grace and his strength, even though we don't feel like we're strong at all and weighed down. But he told us that his grace and his strength, that his grace is sufficient for us. In Philippians 4 and 13, he told us that we could do all things through him who strengthens us. Repeatedly does he tells us that he strengthens us because we are just human and we are but weak. And this Bible verse can often be applied to when we're in sports or working out or just trying to hustle harder in life, as they call it, going through the normal things that we go through, trying to work a 12-hour shift over and over and over again, and you're getting tired and weary, or getting a new job, or going back to the same one that we're tired of. It's about enduring whatever comes because Christ is our strength in good times and in the bad. It's about experiencing peace and contentment no matter the circumstance. And this is available to each and every one of us. He said to give our burdens unto him because he is our strength. Burdens are equivalent to heavy weights that weigh you down, that take an extra amount of strength to bear, sometimes strength that we don't have. And he consistently reminds us that he is our strength. We don't have to be strong and pick it up and weigh ourselves down because he is our strength. And we know that there is nothing that can defeat the Most High. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31 and 6 for another reminder of what he tells us in his word. He consistently reminds us that his grace and his strength is sufficient for us, and that his strength is what we have when we don't feel our own. Amen. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament, right in the beginning of the book. You don't know where exactly, don't be a hero. Just look in the front of the book and find where Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Amen. It tells us there, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is I, the Lord, your God, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So before Moses passed the leadership to Joshua, he reminded the people that courage doesn't come from circumstances because we've all been through many circumstances. That doesn't make you want to go through any more than the ones that you've already been through. It comes from knowing that God is with us, that we may be facing real battles today, some that leave you intimidated and fearful. It's like when you're hiking and you're looking from the bottom all the way up this tall mountain, and you're, how am I going to defeat this and get to the top of this? But only with God. Because he is our strength. And sometimes it takes an extra amount of strength to bear. Sometimes we don't have that. And he consistently reminds us that he is. Even here in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, he was telling them not to be intimidated or fearful. This was in a land that they were going into where there were giants. And it was said that they looked like grasshoppers compared to the giants. But the promise was already given by the Most High to them that they were guaranteed victory. He reminded us in Romans 8 and 37 that no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For we are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from that love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It says that no matter the height, no matter the power, not the things that are here now or the ones that are to come, not the depth. So not in all the deepness of the ocean, when it said that some of the oceans are as deep as the Empire State Building is tall. No matter how high the mountains are to where you can reach the top and you can see clouds. No matter how high, no matter how low, you have been promised the victory. This is the truth that we must lean on every day, that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing in your past, nothing in your present, nothing in your future, that we are more than conquerors. We must
Amen.
Remind ourselves of this truth daily. As she said, we have to renew the mind daily. So this also is a renewing of the mind and reading in his word that we are guaranteed the victory. That when the shame and the fear try to keep us from receiving his grace, that we were given a promise by him already. I want each and every one of us to continue to read these Bible verses about courage and strength. Highlight them in your Bible. Pray them daily. Renew your mind. Matter of fact, place them in your confession that you may be reminded every day that you are strong, not through yourself or your personal strength, but you are strong through God, who it is that created each and every one of us. Write them on sticky notes if you have to. Put them around your house. Put them on the mirror so that when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, before you even get out to face the challenges of the day, you can be reminded and watch as a strength that can only come from above empowers you. God loves you and is with you. That is my message for this evening.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have went over verses with you this evening to help you remember who you are in Christ and who God is. That we, no matter how many weights you lift, no matter how big you are, how many fights you won, how many folks you wrestled with your mouth or with your body, it doesn't matter, because Jesus, God, is our strength, and he is the one who bears our burdens. You see, burdens weigh us down, but with God as our strength, it is nothing that can topple us. It says, as God goes before us, who can be against us? And it also says that God is our rear guard. So that means that he's got our back as well. So with him going in front of us, him watching us behind, and him being our strength, we are guaranteed the victory. So there is no reason for us to hold our heads down in shame and loss. I want each and every one of you to be reminded on a daily basis that you are, because he is. And the great I am is within each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I will pray us out. That's it. Amen. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we ask forgiveness. We repent of our sins. We thank you for your love, your grace, your hope, and your mercy. We thank you for leading us, guiding us, blessing us, directing us, ordering our steps, and opening doors, Father. You said that you would lead us, guide us, bless us, and direct us, Father, that you would show us the way, that you are the lamp to our feet and the light unto our path, O God. If any of these things that we forget, I call on you now, Father, by your word, and it says that the Holy Spirit was given us to remind us of your word, O God, so that each and every of these times when we are forgetful of your word, Father, of your strength, when we try to use ours, if we are forgetful of your strength, Father, remind us, show us, remind us of your promises, Father, that we may be victorious in your mighty and your holy name, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for walking with us, for how can two walk together unless they agree? And we agree with you, Father, because we agree with your word. And we quote your word back to you because your word says, study to show thyself approved, Father. We thank you, Father, for your promises that you have given us, for we have the keys to victory, Father. And just as the enemy was defeated before with these keys, we thank you and praise you that daily he is defeated with these same keys that you have given us, Father. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do, for all that you are, Father. We thank you that nothing shall by any means hurt us, not the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walked in darkness, or the destruction that lay waste at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh thus, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for this is your word, your will, and your way. And your word says that it shall not be returned back void, Father. So we thank you and we praise you right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. This joy that I have, can't give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, can't give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, my father gave it, it's for you and me,
you and me.
Share, have, hold, and keep,
hold and keep.
Though tested every day, this will pass. What I have runs way too deep. No, not one can take from me.